everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process. I'm your host, Greg Wareham. I wanted to talk a little bit about value today. And when we look at all the changes that are going on in the real estate industry, or potential changes that are going on, I think value becomes more and more important. And that's value whether or not you're a real estate salesperson, or you're a mortgage salesperson, or value in any type of sales position. So I had the opportunity to speak to Phil M. Jones, who's a very successful author. And we ran a show about him a couple weeks ago. We were fortunate enough to have him on. And Phil had used an example in a presentation that I saw him do that really represented value. And what he had done is he put a pen out there and said, this pen on a desk, what's that pen worth? Now, you got a pen sitting around on a desk. You see pens everywhere. What's it worth? Basically nothing. But take that same pen and put it in Macy's and line it up with 12 other pens with some nice advertising above it. Well, now what's that pen worth? Well, it's clearly worth more money than the pen that was just sitting on the table. Take that same pen, put it in a high-end store on Park Avenue, and you're going to put it in a nice mahogany box. Everything's lined. Everything's beautiful. And then you have someone in a tuxedo coming out with white gloves showing you the pen. What's that pen worth? Now, clearly, there's a difference in value between the three different presentations. And that really speaks to me as to value and being able to show your value when you're dealing with a consumer. Now, as the industry changes, we're really going to have to find a way to enhance what our value is, or become very, very good at articulating what that value is. Like, we all know we have value with what we do from a sales standpoint. Question is, how well do we present that value? So I was fortunate enough to sit in a meeting recently, and they had a really good presentation about value, showing your value, specifically working with buyers and sellers in the real estate industry. So I'm going to go through some of that with everybody. So the first thing I would point out is there's an overall circle of trust with dealing with people. We have empathy, which is understanding and caring, as we know, and coming across with authenticity. There's competency, which if you're not competent, you really shouldn't be in the industry to begin with. But the competency involves your knowledge, your skills, and your experience. The good thing about competency is you can always train yourself to have that, where empathy is a little bit more difficult, but you can learn over the course of time. Third component is transparency, where you're looking at the honesty and the clarity, the openness, and the communication. And then the last part is dependability. Do you keep your promises? Do you hit the expectations that you set? And do you maintain the confidentiality? So again, we're looking at empathy, competency, transparency, and dependability. Now, I just want to go back to empathy for one second. Some people would say that empathy is not something that you can learn. I disagree with that. I think as people become more experienced in life, they have more interactions with people, that they've experienced hardness or harshness in their own personal life, that they can learn to have more and more empathy for other people, because you just get better at putting yourself in other people's shoes. Can it be harder for people to adapt to have empathy? Yes, but you can certainly adapt and have it over the course of time. Now, if we're looking at building trust with buyers, there's eight moments where trust is built or it's lost when you're working with a potential home buyer. Number one, when you're making first contact, which is clear, you want to have your first presentation and your first impression being your strongest. So you want to look the part, you want to speak the part, you want to act the part. Number two, when you're presenting value, reaching agreement and setting those expectations. So that to me really comes down to listening. Are you listening to what people are saying so you can present the appropriate value that's important to them? Number three, you need to build trust when you're qualifying someone, asking the questions as to what they're looking to accomplish. I've done some other podcasts and I've done other things on our show Beyond the Bottom Line where I've mentioned that, your questions that you ask people. What are you looking to accomplish and how can I help you? And listen to the answers that people are giving you. We build trust when you're searching for properties. Again, that you've listened to them, what they're looking for, and you're giving them the properties that they're interested in. When you're showing properties, when you're negotiating contracts, obviously doing it within someone's best interest and trying to get the best deal for them and communicating about it. When you're in the due diligence period, and finally, when you're closing the transaction. So those are eight moments where trust is built or lost when you're dealing with a potential home buyer. The big one in there with me, and what really stands out, is the overall communication. And when I say communication, people automatically think, you know, what you're saying, how you're saying it. Well, that's a part of communication. But the number one component of communication, are you listening? Because people will tell you what they want. And people know when you're listening. Can you then take that information and then articulate it back to solve what their needs are? So shut up and listen. My mom used to tell me that at a young age. Just shut up and listen, boy. And it's really true, and it holds true to life in general, not just dealing with consumers looking to buy or sell a house, but dealing with your spouse, significant other, your friends, your family, and so forth. So eight moments where trust is built or lost with home sellers. When you're making first contact, again, your first impression. When you're presenting value, reaching agreement. When you're educating around key milestones in the process. And that's an important component of it. People need to understand what the process is going to be upfront, whether or not you're buying or you're selling, and being able to articulate what those stages are, and then being able to speak to them when they're happening. When you're executing your marketing plan, people want to understand the details. They're hiring you and paying you a commission to sell their home. As a result of that, you got to be really clear with the marketing plan that you're putting together and that the consumer understands what value that has for them. Number five, when you're providing ongoing communication and feedback. Number six, when you're negotiating contracts, when you hit the due diligence period, and again, when you're closing the transaction. You know, I've found that salespeople at times can get a little bit lazy once you get to position eight, right? When you're closing the transaction. Transaction's done. All right, everybody's happy. What's your follow-up like? Have you reached out to that buyer? Have you reached out to that seller? And did you check in with them? Did you see how everything's going? How did the move go? How did the utilities go? Is there anything that they need? You're showing the fact that you have empathy for them at every stage in the process, even after you've been cut your check. That's what really builds long-term, high-end relationships, and that's really what drives long-term referral relationships as well. Moving on to how trust is lost. So if you fail to show empathy, and your client will clearly question your sincerity. All right, let's think about that one for a second. If someone was to tell you how they feel or what's important to them, and you're not listening and you're not respecting that, how sincere can you actually be? So it's important, show empathy, make sure you're asking the right questions so your client understands that you're paying attention and that you're concerned about what's good for them. Number two, fail to deliver on competency and your client will question your expertise. That one's pretty clear. If you're not sure you know what you're doing or you don't know what you're doing, it's going to come out in the wash at the end of the day. So if you are concerned about not understanding the process or there's some competency that you may be lacking, bring someone in to help. Work with someone else who has that expertise, that has that experience, a mentor that can help guide you through that process. The great thing about competency, it's all learned behavior. And a lot of times in our industry, whether or not it's real estate or it's the mortgage industry, you only get that over the course of time. You got to be through the process to understand what to expect. Fail to provide transparency, your client will question your ethics. That one's pretty self-explanatory. Fail to ensure dependability, and your client will question your integrity. Now, when you fail to set expectations, you're setting yourself up to lose trust. When trust is lost, so is your reputation. And with it, your reviews, your ratings, and your referrals. The best client you're ever going to have is the one that was referred over to you. So in a nutshell, you got to care. And if you care, then everything's going to fall into place. This next part really speaks to any type of sales or professionary environment where you're dealing with a customer or client. It's the difference between a functionary and a fiduciary. And let me define them. So a functionary is someone who simply does the task for the client, where a fiduciary is one who not only does the tasks of the job, but is also in a high trust relationship with their client. They feel totally responsible for the outcome. They put their client's interest above their own and treat all client information as confidential. Your fiduciary, when you accept the responsibility of using your best judgment to interpret information, educate, consult, and guide your client to an outcome that you are accountable to. There's a huge difference. And I want to go through it in detail, the different tasks between a functionary and a fiduciary. So when you look at a functionary, it's really kind of a shallow surface level relationship, right? It's just, hey, you're asking me to do something, I'm going to do it. Good doing business with you. Where a fiduciary has a deep relationship, where it's not about just doing the activity, it's about caring about the activity that's being done. A functionary assumes the least responsibility. Fiduciary accepts the most responsibility. They make it their own. Functionary reports data and information. Fiduciary interprets and advises on data and information. Now, anyone that's known me for a long period of time would know that this one really brings home with me. Our job in sales and working with the consumer is to take complex information that the consumer isn't used to dealing with and being able to articulate that to them in a fashion that they can understand. That's the magic. We take it in, we explain in a fashion that people can digest. Because not everyone's in the real estate and mortgage industry. So we got to make sure that we're nailing that part of the transaction. A functionary reacts to requests. Fiduciary is going to anticipate things that their client needs. A functionary focuses on tasks. A fiduciary is going to focus on the outcome. That's a big one too. We're not trying to just check a box here. We're trying to get to a designed end or a designed location when everything's done. A functionary tells and sells where a fiduciary educates and guides. Listen, we used to call that show up and throw up when I first got into sales. We're not just telling people and trying to sell them on something. That's like Bush League type stuff. We're trying to educate and we're trying to guide people down a path for what could potentially be the biggest investment that they've ever made in their life. It's an important responsibility, and we have to take that responsibility seriously, and we got to educate people and we got to guide them through the process. A functionary is replaceable, a fiduciary is irreplaceable. And the last component of this is a functionary, they don't make any money. That's minimum wage, right? If you're a functionary, you're just doing what someone tells you to do. Where if you're a fiduciary, you get highly compensated for the process of what you're doing and your intellect and your knowledge and your caring of working someone through the process. Another way of looking at functionary and fiduciary is transactional, which is functionary, or am I building a long-term high-trust relationship, which is fiduciary. How do you become irreplaceable? Best way to become irreplaceable, again, is to care. You spend the time with your client. You spend the time understanding what their needs are and then walking them through the process and educating them in a fashion that they can understand day after day. You know, if we're not walking through the buying and selling of real estate and the mortgage process hand in hand with the consumer, then what are we doing? You know, this is very overwhelming. I know people that have been in the mortgage industry for 5 or 10 years. They still don't understand every part about it. And same on the real estate side, right? This is a fast-moving, ever-changing profession. So you got to be able to walk people through it with real-time information, real-time data, and then being able to explain what does that data mean or how to interpret it. This is an industry that you're always going to be learning in. I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm learning every day. Because if you're not learning or you're not growing, what are you doing? You're dying. So take the time and become irreplaceable when you're dealing with your clientele. Make it a point when you're dealing with your clients to build that circle of trust. Excuse me. Make it a point to have empathy, to have competency, to have transparency, and to have dependability. Make it your business to understand complex information and data and being able to articulate in the fashion that the consumer can understand. And if you have any questions or I can be any assistance, just reach out to me, greg@yourmortgageprocess.com. Now, moving forward with the podcast, we spent a lot of time talking about the other show that we're doing on News 12 Plus New Jersey, Beyond the Bottom Line. And now that that show's airing and it's running every Sunday night at 7 o'clock, and hopefully everybody's checking it out, we're going to also go back deep on our podcast to make sure that we're educating and that we're spending the time with our core audience and giving you the information that you need. So you can expect over the course of the next couple of months a resurgence in what we're doing from a podcast standpoint. And you're going to also see us on TV with News 12 Plus doing what we do, which is trying to provide value, trying to lead people through real estate, trying to lead them through mortgage, markets, and then also give people a deep dive into some of the great things that are going on in the state of New Jersey. So as always, I appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate everyone that's watching us on News 12 Plus New Jersey. Again, check us out Sunday night, 7 o'clock, and we'll look forward to connecting with you next Wednesday with Your Mortgage Process. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process, hosted by Greg Wareham, produced by Greg Wareham and Nick Pavese at The Social Rift, and executively produced by The Social Rift. Thank you again for tuning in, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.